Welcome to Standard Chartered Money Insights, a podcast series by Standard Chartered Bank that brings you market views and insights on the go.
Welcome to Standard Chartered Money Insights. My name is Fukian Yap, Senior Investment Strategist. On today's episode of the podcast, we'll discuss the key takeaways from this week's busy central bank policy developments, updates from Europe and US earnings season, and lastly, touch on the UN's COP26 climate conference in Glasgow. Joining me today for this conversation, I'm very glad to welcome Marco Iacchini, Cross Asset Strategist. Without further ado, let's start today's conversation. So first off, Marco, what are your takeaways from this week's FOMC meeting in the US? And what are the implications around the tapering of stimulus?
Hi, Fukien. Thanks. Happy to be back. Now, the US Central Bank's decision to start tapering its bond purchasing this month has been well received by investors, first of all. When we look at markets' reaction, global stocks hit a new record high, recovering from the 5% pullback that we saw in September. And at the same time, Treasury yields and US dollar and the US dollar have remained fairly anchored within recent ranges. We do think that that makes sense because the world has progressed and it's a vastly different place than when these measures were first implemented, right? When we look at some of the developments in most developed markets and many emerging markets, they have started to live with COVID as a kind of like a way of life or strategy. And a lot of these have seen at least one jab, right? Especially in emerging markets. When we look at business confidence indicators for most major economies, they remain robust. And looking at corporate earnings, especially in the US and Europe for Q3, have once again beaten expectations handsomely. So looking at the world in this light for us, it's not surprising that investors now expect the Fed to start hiking interest rates as early as mid-2022, which is almost half a year sooner than what was forecasted just a few months ago. So just to give you a sense, markets now are factoring two Fed rate hikes by the end of 2022 and expecting the ECB to start hiking from the first half of 2023. And by doing so, the Fed and the ECB would be following the lead of other developed market central banks, which have already started to hike. But what it means for us in our view is that we view this buildup of rate hikes expectations from a position of strength as economies recover. But one thing that obviously we need to mention is that the path ahead is potentially rocky due to inflation worries. In fact, markets and arguably central banks are starting to factor in the possibility of a more prolonged bout of inflation as companies struggle to meet rising consumer demand due to shortages in semiconductor chips and supply bottlenecks at shipping and transportations. So then to conclude, what does that mean for investors? Well, this developing scenario emphasizes the need, in our view, to stay diversified, but tactically nimble. When we look at history, that suggests that equities continue to outperform bonds and cash as long as growth remains at or above trend, and central bank policy stays accommodative. And by that, we mean that interest rates stay below the economic growth. We also then expect these conditions to prevail predominantly in the US and Euro area over the next 6 to 12 months, and that's why we have a preference for these equity markets. So also within equities, we do think that a tilt towards sectoral winners is important, and here in the US, we like financials, healthcare, and energy. In Europe, we like financials, technologies, industrials, and energy. And lastly, in China, we like technology and industrials. Within bonds, given the backdrop of rising inflation, we recommend reducing exposure to government bonds in developed markets and rebalancing out to Asian and emerging market US dollar bonds, where yields remain attractive. And lastly, gold, in our view, offers a time-tested hedge in the event that inflation surprises to the upside in the coming months.
Thanks very much for that, Marco. Yes, indeed, the tapering of stimulus has been something markets have been waiting for some time, and we've been writing about it as well. So thanks for the summary of the implications. And you talk about equities. So can you give us an update now? What's the latest from the US and Europe's Q3 earnings reporting season now?
Sure. We've often focused on the US. So let me start with Europe today. When we look at the companies that usually report from the Stoxx 600 index, about half of them have reported so far. And when we look at earnings surprises, we're seeing surprises of about 11% versus analysts' expectations. That is obviously a positive factor. And we're also seeing Q3 growth and as well as fiscal year 2021 growth being revised higher for Europe quite significantly. And that's obviously a positive development as well. When we look at sectors, the sectors that are delivering the biggest earning surprises have been financials and technology, which are two of our preferred sectors. And lastly, on the profit margins, which where we've seen some concerns, we're seeing that earnings growth is outpacing revenue growth, which is a positive for those who are worried about margin compression. Nevertheless, you know, inflation and consumer pricing power is and companies' pricing power is something that to watch out for going forward. But some of the numbers that are coming through so far, and we'll see is the same in the US, have eased some of the worries. And then lastly, with regards to the US, we're much closer to the end of the season, reporting season. We have about 85% of the companies that have reported earnings so far, with similar upside surprise to earnings estimates of about 11%, same as in Europe. And here also, we're seeing Q3 growth and as well as 2021 full year growth being revised significantly higher. So overall, we take these as positive developments for our view and supportive of our view for US and Euro area equities to outperform over the next 6 to 12 months.
That's great, Marco. Thanks. Good to see that earnings are still holding up. And turning now, we also have a major event going on, which is the COP26 Climate Conference in Glasgow. Can you share with us what should investors watch out for at the conference? And what is the impact on investing in terms of which sectors do you think could benefit?
Absolutely. You said it, it's a major event and everyone's eyes are turned towards it. So when we look at the COP26, which is a UN's conference of parties on climate change, the expectations are obviously for policymakers to reach deals and set targets to tackle the climate crisis and prevent temperatures from rising above the 1.5 degree target that was set in the Paris Agreement. Looking at some of the major announcements so far, those include India's 2070 net zero emission target, as well as a pledge to cut methane emissions, and one big pledge in my view of ending deforestation by 2030, as well as a slew of private sector initiatives from wealthy investors. Now, despite these announcements, we know that the UN has recently pointed out that we have concerning gaps between policymakers' pledges and on-the-ground efforts. So this is one front that we'll have to continue to monitor going forward. But at the same time, we're seeing businesses focused on these developments. And one of the things that they will have to do is to sieve through all the sensationalized headlines and focus on what the regulatory developments will be. So in our view, overall, a successful COP26 will result in an acceleration of these climate policies. So shifting then to investing implications, well, the meeting and the developments from it are a positive in our view for our Time for Climate Investing theme. And here we do think that sectors and companies that are geared towards enabling the energy transition could benefit from increased investments. And looking at these include firms offering clean energy generation, improved energy efficiency technologies, and sustainable land, forestry, and water management practices. And at least let's not forget that sustainable solution financiers are very important in the space.
That's great. Thanks for the summary, Marco. And thanks again, Marco, for joining our conversation today. And that is all for this episode of Standard Chartered Money Insights. If you would like to learn more or read our publications, please visit our website at sc.com under Market Insights. As a reminder, if you enjoyed our discussion, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Standard Chartered Money Insights, a podcast series by Standard Chartered Bank. For more details on the latest market insights, subscribe to Standard Chartered Money Insights.